Well, welcome this morning and truly happy Father's Day for you fathers among us. If you want to open your Bibles with me to Ephesians chapter 4 as we continue our study in the book of Ephesians. We've come to a very practical section of the book of Ephesians, which is always the purpose of doctrine. Always the purpose of the teaching is so that it might affect us and it might change us. We've been studying the doctrine of what we would call the new covenant. And now we're coming to the practical section of the new covenant. And from verses 1 through 16 is the section upon the unity of the church. And for a few weeks, I'd like to look at the church and how the church is to function and how we're to operate within the church. And it's going to involve all of the church, every single person. And so, let's open our hearts to the Lord this morning. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you are truly the greatest father that could ever be. And that you are an example to all of the earthly fathers that have ever lived. And Lord, you are the father to the fatherless. And Lord, you're the father, Lord, to those who have been abandoned and left, Lord. And Lord, you're the father to each one of us, God, who once were children, Lord, of wrath, who our Father previously, before we came, Lord, into this new relationship of inheritance with your Son, Jesus Christ, were children, Lord, of the devil. Lord, your word says that our Father was the devil, and that he was a liar and a thief and a deceiver, a murderer. You came and rescued us as an loving Heavenly Father, you gave, Lord, your only begotten Son to rescue us. And Lord, as a Father, as we think today, how could we thank you for giving that which was dearest to a father's heart, his only begotten Son, to gain that which, Lord, would rebel when your only begotten Son never rebelled? You gained us, Lord, and became our Father through, Lord, the death of your Son on the cross, and Lord, we are rebellious. You gave up something so wonderful for something that's not so wonderful. Lord, in the hope that through your Son's blood, we might not only be forgiven, redeemed, but sanctified and transformed into the image of your Son. And Lord, so we come to that point this morning, and our hearts are there. We want to, Lord, follow you as a loving Father. And we want, Lord, to do that. We want to apply that which, Lord, we know to be true, which we studied thus far of what you did when you gave your Son. And we want, Lord, to follow you wholeheartedly. We want to have a walk worthy of the calling by which we have been called. And Lord, we want to give ourselves to you. And so, Lord, I pray that, Lord, each of us might just open our hearts right now to the work of your Holy Spirit. We ask that you, Lord, by your Spirit would teach through me, and that you'd open my mouth and give the utterance of, Lord, the mysteries of the gospel of Christ. And that, Lord, you would open our minds and open the eyes of our understanding, God, that we might have enlightenment to, Lord, the new covenant and to the church and to, Lord, our place in it. God, that you'd speak, Lord, right now, Lord, in that way that only you can. And God, we give you honor and glory for what you're doing in our church. And God, we look forward to that, what you want to even do beginning this morning in a greater way in our hearts and in our church. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, again, if you haven't been with us on Thursday nights, we're looking systematically at the study of Ephesians. I encourage you to come out. Sunday mornings, we're taking a deeper look into some passages and really some themes through the book. And so getting the more detailed, verse by verse throughout the book. And we've been having a great time. And it's just getting greater as Thursday night, we had a wonderful time. Just in the book. You know, by the way, I've got to mention this. Thursday night, when I started teaching, I shared my heart about the body of Christ. And I shared my heart about, I believe God wants to do a special work. We're going to be looking at the body of Christ We're going to be looking at the church and how that analogy of the body of Christ fits and all of our places in the body. And so these studies are, I believe, very important for our church, just where God wants to grow us up to and take us to. God is doing awesome things. And I shared that God is right now working greater than I've ever seen Him work in our church. And I truly do believe that. But how God wants to do even greater things. And it's interesting because we had an appointment, us elders, in the prayer room during Afterglow with some people from our fellowship, the Long Way family, and their little girl named Jessica, and she was in a wheelchair. And so we prayed for her. As the scripture said, they called for the elders of the church. We went in there, we anointed her with oil, and prayed over in the name of the Lord, and believing that the Lord would raise the sick. And she has foot problems. She's had 2 years ago, she had surgery, and the doctor nicked her nerve in her foot. And she's had foot problems ever since. She has excruciating pain. Dave said, her father, that if you would just touch her foot like this with your hand, if you just rub your finger on her foot, it would hurt. She would start to cry. And you know, so in fact, Wednesday, she had seen the fifth doctor and a foot specialist, you know, renowned foot specialist. And so, you know, and they said the only hope for her is they have to remove like 5-6 inches of that nerve. They have to actually take it out, which means she'd lose total feeling in the top of her foot and all kinds of things. And so that was the situation. And they really felt the Lord wanted to do a work and to heal her. So they called for us. We prayed. And it was an awesome thing to see little Jessica's faith. Because she's 12 years old, sitting here in this wheelchair, her foot hurts. I mean, her parents said, "No, you know, to us, she'll make sure not to lay your hands on her foot because it really hurts." You know, you're just expecting us to grab her foot, start praying, and after we prayed, and she starts praying, and I'm telling you what a message she was preaching to me. I mean, the prayer of this young 12-year-old was just so convicting. I mean, it spoke of such faith and a desire for the Lord. You know, you could tell she had a real relationship with Christ. And she's praying. It's just amazing me. You know, just, Lord, I just pray that you would be glorified and that you would do whatever you want. If you want to heal me, I believe you can. But if you don't and you want to save people through that, Lord, just whatever. I mean, just giving her life to the Lord. I mean, I'm just like, you know, I mean, because it was genuine, it was real, it was wonderful. And, you know, and then she prays, but God, I'm hurting really bad. And she starts crying and she's praying, God, please heal me. You know, and so, you know, we pray, say amen, they leave. And an hour later, they show up at the church. Jessica's walking and and they come in, they're all crying, the whole family. They're standing before me, they're just all crying. And Dave says, she's healed. I said, she's healed? You know? Are you sure? You sure she's not just emotional or something? And you know, she's healed. He says, we went home and she started getting ready for bed. She took off her shoes and she realized her foot is fine. And she starts hitting her foot like this. Mom, look! Dad, look! My foot is fine! And she's hitting her foot when, you know, an hour before you touched it with your finger. And she was, you know, in excruciating pain. And, you know, Dave shared the first service. They were here the first service. I let him share. You know, he says all the feeling is coming back to the foot where it wasn't previously. And just the warmth and everything. And it's just amazing. And God has just healed her. And, you know. Amen. Amen. And it's just awesome to see what God is doing, you know, in our church. And it's just interesting, you know, I said, I believe God's moving, you know, and more than He ever has. An hour later, you know, girls getting healed in the prayer room. And it's just exciting to see, you know, what the Lord is doing. And dude, that is the body. And as we talked this morning, you know, we're not going to get into the gifts so much of the Spirit, but they're part of that operation within the body of Christ. But Ephesians here has so much for us, especially these first 16 verses of chapter 4. We well know if we've been around and we're here Thursday night, verse 1, he starts off, therefore, as a prisoner of the Lord, I beseech you to have a walk worthy of the calling by which you've been called. We talked about the walk, that word worthy means equal. That walk is worthy of the calling. And it's equal with that calling. The calling of what? The calling of being a member of the body of Christ. What I want to talk about is I want to talk about the church. The church of Jesus Christ. I want to talk about the function of the church and God's design for the church. Now let me define, first of all, the church is not this building. Most of you know that and understand that. But the church is not this building. This building is a place where the church meets. And the church isn't so much Sunday mornings. Again, the church right now is meeting here. Now, what is the church? The church is made up of people who have given their hearts to Jesus Christ, who have turned from their sins and confessed their sins, and confessed the only way for salvation is through the blood of Jesus Christ. And not just confess that, but have clinged to that and believe in that and are trusting in the Lord for eternal salvation. And have given their heart and have seen God change their lives. You know, God healing a physical infirmity is nothing compared to the healing God has done in the hearts of the Christians here this morning. How God has transformed and renewed and worked. And those people are called the people of God. And those are the people that make up the church of Jesus Christ. And it's an awesome thing to see. Now, when we say the body of Christ, that is an illustration that Paul is bringing in to define what the church is and how the church operates. It operates like a physical body. It's an awesome, beautiful, wonderful illustration that brings much insight to the operation of the church of Jesus Christ. And it's important for us to see that. It's interesting, there are three analogies or illustrations that Paul uses in the book of Ephesians dealing with the church. The book of Ephesians is about the church. It's about what? The new covenant, which is the church. God is no longer working only with Israel in the sense of how He worked in the Old Testament through the law, but now the promises have been fulfilled that all nations should be blessed through Abraham and through his seed, which is Christ, Galatians chapter 3, and that fulfillment of that promise has come in Jesus Christ. Now no longer do we need the law. It's no longer needed. It was there for a time, but now we've come into what we call the dispensation or the time block of grace that God is now working in. And in that dispensation, it's called sometimes the dispensation of the church. And so now we're working within the church in the dispensation of the church. And it's a wonderful thing to sit here and see, because in chapter 2, the illustration is the temple. He uses in the end of chapter 2 there, verses 21 through the end, or 20, or actually start at verse 19 through the end there. That section, he talks about how, you know, they're coming out of the context of Jews and Gentiles brought together as one, which is making the temple of God, the house of God. And each of us, you know, are stones. The foundation is the apostles and prophet, Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone. And we are being built up as a building. We are being built up as a habitation of God, a habitation of God's Spirit. And so the whole analogy there is the temple, which has that's another beautiful analogy. And then he goes into chapter 4 here, and he talks about in chapter 4 an analogy for the church as a body. A body. About the physical body. We're going to look at that this morning. And then in chapter 5, his analogy there, the comparison between Christ and His church, is the marital relationship. How we're called the bride of Christ and the whole thing. And he starts teaching there when it talks about marriage, he's really talking about, as he says there in chapter 5, he says in verse 32, he says, "This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church." And so this is really what he's talking about. These analogies. And again, this morning, we're not going to have time to hit all three of these. We won't even have time to hit one of them fully. I mean, not even close. I'll do my best with one of them. And that is what is before us in chapter 4, which is the body of Christ. Now, the body of Christ is what he's talking about, and that analogy of the body, the physical body, and bringing it in. There's some other passages that talk about the body of Christ. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through verse, I think it's 11, talks about their giving our life. It's very similar to Ephesians 4 in the sense of it's making the breaking point in that letter from the doctrinal to the practical, and there's a beseeching, an urging to walk like he beseeches here in chapter 4 of Ephesians, walk worthy. There he says, present your bodies a living sacrifice. It's the same context. And then following there in Romans chapter 12, there in verse 4 starts up with the gifts and moves into the gifts and talks about how they're given by the grace of God, and they're given for the edification of the body, and they're given to each individual member. And he uses that word body, the body of Christ, that it's one body, many members. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, that analogy is picked up and really kind of expanded on there, and really are explained in a greater way, talking about how the physical body works and how every part of the body is important and useful, and if one member of the body suffers, the whole body suffers, and if one member of the body is honored, the whole body is honored. Again, in the physical analogy, that, you know, if I hit my thumb with a hammer when we're doing construction or something, you know, my whole body begins to suffer immediately. You know, as that thumb is hit, my whole body can feel it. You know, it's interesting, my mouth starts to want to declare, you know, things. You know, praise you, God. Thank you, God. You know, but, you know, you know, my mouth, my vocal cords, my members of my body are being affected by my thumb. And we all affect one another. And that's the point I really want to bring this morning, is that each one of us have a place. We're going to talk about the ministries, in the sense, within the church body, to equip the saints next week. The apostle, prophet, evangelist, and pastor, teacher. Those four main ministries that God has raised up to do what? To equip the saints, the church, the people of God, to do the work of the ministry. A lot of people, though, confuse this and think that's those guys that do the work of the ministry. You know me, Easy and Aaron and the pastors here and the staff, they do the work of ministry, and we come to church. And we come to church and just kind of sit back and we hear the word taught and receive and we go home and we're Christians. But that is a very warped concept and a false understanding of what the word of God teaches about the body. Here in chapter 4, we find the word body four times. In verse 4, it says, there is one body and one spirit. In verse 12 there, it says, it's talking about the fourfold ministry of the apostle and prophet, evangelist, and pastor, teacher. It says, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying, that word is the building up of the body of Christ. That's those men's jobs, to build up the body. So you see that twice now, the word body here. Verse 16, for whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies according to the effect of working by which every part does its share, causes growth for the body, for the edifying of itself in love. And so now you see again, two times there, four times this word is mentioned in these first 16 verses. It's all around this thing of the body. Now Paul's point here is that there's, in verse 4, there's one body, one spirit, just as there's one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who's above all and through all and in you all. This word one, seven times here. He's speaking of the oneness. And again, we talked about how this was the unity, the walk of unity within the body. Now, the walk of unity. Now, this is important for us to see, because a lot of times when you think of unity, when I think of unity, what we think of is the lack of division. If we're united, then we're not divided. And we think of divided as what we'd sometimes, and what the word would call, schisms, divisions. You know, problems within the church, within the body of Christ. You know, we do rallies to unite the body of Christ and to bring the body together, and, you know, and kind of just saying that we're friends with one another. And sometimes we think, well, if we're all getting along, we're walking in unity. That is just the first phase. That is the infant stage of unity. Unity is a oneness in the work of the kingdom. We are called the church. Listen to it carefully. The church, Jesus said, would be a light in the midst of darkness. We're going to see that in Ephesians 5. We're called to be a light. Peter says that we are a special people, a chosen generation, to proclaim the praises of Him who has called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. There's a light. We are the light of the world, Jesus says. And Jesus says that let your light so shine, Matthew chapter 5, let your light so shine among men that they would see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Paul prayed in Ephesians chapter 3, the last phrase there, the last verse before we get to chapter 4, verse 1, having a walk worthy. The last phrase there is that to Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages. There's God receiving glory, that our light would so shine among men, they'd see our good works and glorify the Father in heaven. The purpose of the church on the face of the earth is to bring the Father glory. And on this Father's Day, I think it's an important thing to say, you know what? What would bless our Father in heaven more than anything else? To see true mature, listen to it, true mature unity within His church, amongst His family, with His kids. Unity. Unity goes far more than, hey, I like that guy. I can hang out with him. It goes far more than there's no strife within our church. That's just, again, hear it clearly. That's the immature stages. But unity is when we are working together for one purpose. And this is what Paul's talking about. Paul's not talking about these schisms and this stuff. Paul might be talking about that when he talks to the Corinthians. They were having problems with division and things like that. When he's talking to the Ephesians, he's saying, man, you guys walk worthy of the call because you guys are united. And he goes through this whole thing. And you know, it's an awesome thing to see, because in our church, I don't see great problems with division and, you know, people are, you know, divided. And even with churches outside of us, we're not really, you know, too upset with anybody as far as I know. And I speak of the general body. You know, there could be a little here and that. And that needs to be dealt with, and we need to, you know, repent of that and you know, walk in unity. You know, the French church over there on the hill that God is blessing, that's awesome, and I'm excited about that, and we're excited, and time to time I get to talk to the pastor over there, and at time to time I get to talk to pastors from there, and Pastor C.W. Perry down the street, you know, over there at Rose Drive Friends, and, you know, different churches all over the community, you know, we get to have, you know, fellowship with and things, because we're all part of the body. And we should come together and work for the common faith, one Lord, one baptism, you know, one God and Father of all. You know, but what Paul, and that's what Paul's talking about, not so much of divisions in that sense, but divisions where people are not fulfilling the calling on their life. That's why he says in verse 1, we'll have a walk worthy of the call by which you have been called. In this new covenant, under this headship of the church, Jesus Christ being the head, the Lord, each one of us have a place and have a part. And that's my prayer this morning. That's been my prayer for a year. That has been my prayer every day, that we would begin to see it. Because, you know, we could step back and say, man, our church is awesome. Our church is, God is moving in our church. And He is. I mean, I just shared a great testimony of God's hand in our church. You know, and we've been talking about what God's doing in missions and what God is doing in people's lives. We're just seeing a real energy, a real passion, a real fire within our church. And it's exciting to see. But the danger of it is thinking that we are the church. We have arrived. Like, hey, look at us. You know, we've got great afterglows. You know, telling other people from our church, hey, why don't you come to our afterglows? Got great times in the Word, man. We really study the Scripture systematically right now in the heart of the New Testament. Man, it's good stuff. You know, we've got evangelism teams. We've got prayer meetings. We've got, you know, convalescent home ministries. We've got missions here and missions, you know, in the United States and missions to the uttermost parts, and God's doing all kinds of things. And we can begin to be deceived thinking that we are doing all that God has called us to do. That we're all walking worthy. Again, that word worthy is equal with the calling that God has placed upon us as a people in this generation. Because honestly, as I see, now I'm excited about this church. I want you to know that. I'm so blessed to be the pastor. I can't even tell you. Because I guess speak. And I'm thankful that I'm not guest speaking here, but this is my home. Because you guys are students, and you guys are, man, when the Word is taught, I watch you guys respond. I love it. It's wonderful. There is such a beautiful work going on, you know, schools of ministry and discipleships and all these different, and God and people serving and things happening, and I'm so blessed. And so hear my heart this morning, because I'm very excited to be the pastor of this church, and I believe very honored, and I feel like sometimes when I go guest speak at some nice churches, If I had to be the pastor of that church, I wouldn't be. I'd leave. I'd go to some dark hole in India or Asia or somewhere and just start, work there. Because, man, I just feel like I was kind of just talking to chairs with mummies in them. I'm not trying to dog or be rude or anything, but it's just kind of, it's the spirit of the American church. It's kind of, it's a given. When you come here, when guys come here to guest speak, they're so blessed. You guys remember when Bob Hoekstra was here? He couldn't help but just say, man, I'm just so blessed to be here. And that wasn't something he always did. When he went back to Bible school, working over there, he works over at Calvary Chapel Marietta. He helps oversee the Bible school over there. When we went back over there, I guess in the staff meet, he went on for a half hour about how God is working at Saving Grace. And then, the next week, I noticed there was a bunch of students over here. And then when I went over there to teach, I had all kinds of favor in their eyes. I mean, I'm thinking, these guys, somebody told them something that's really not true, but I mean, and so God is working, and it's a blessing. But here's the deal. The deal is, guys, we aren't even close to what God has designed for us. We've tasted. We've seen the Lord is good. We're beginning to partake. We're beginning to move out of the American mold of Christianity, but we're still in it. We're still struggling. And we're definitely not right now, this church right now, these people, us, just sitting here, let alone those from first service and those that aren't here with us this morning, every one of those. But just us right here, just take us in this room right now. We are not united in the faith. We have different agendas, each one of us. Different things holding us down, different sins, different weights, different cares of this world that are causing us not to come together in one mind and one heart, like you find through the book of Acts. God wants to do a radical work. Sure, we got street witnessing teams, but we got three people on them. Sure, we got prayer meetings, but we got two people at them. We've got these things, but we're not coming together. And again, those are just two examples I'm pulling up. I'm not saying if you don't go street witness or prayer meeting, you're not saved. Or you're not, in unity. I'm not saying that. Please hear my heart this morning. Don't misinterpret what I'm saying, please. Because the enemy wants to divide. But there is such a calling of God upon our church to go way farther than where we have gone, to take us into the greatest unity, because when the church is united together for the same purpose, walking in their calling, what you have is you have a body. A healthy, strong body. The analogy that Paul uses is this thing called the physical body. Now, I wish I knew a little bit more about the body this morning. I don't know anything, to be real honest. I just know it works. I didn't really go far in school, if you know what I mean. And I really wish, I wish I had some medical background, because I could, the endless analogies and application there is as you begin to study the human body and relate that to God's church. How it works in unity. And I'm sure there's some of you here this morning that could come up that know a little more, that could really bring and preach some serious application. Because, it's an amazing thing how my body works. Now, here's the whole thing. Throughout the scriptures on the body of Christ, the whole thing is that it's one, and that is emphasized. One. We saw that here in our text this morning. One. One body, but many different members. Many different functions, many different operations, just like Paul does in 1 Corinthians 12. He talks about, the foot and the hand and the whole deal. And he goes through the eye and the ear and how they all need each other. And without one of them, the whole thing would suffer. And you think about when Paul wrote that, he didn't have medical understanding like we do either. Yeah, he didn't have the understanding of the medical, technology and the things we can do now to understand really the body in detail like we can now. And it only enhances the analogy. It doesn't weaken it. That's what I love about God's Word. God plans His Word. He writes it in the first century, planning it for a modern age, 21st century. People go, the Bible's not, doesn't work anymore. It doesn't work. It only is enhanced. As technology moves, God knows how He made His, physical bodies. You know, it's amazing to me right now how, you know, like I have a cut on my hand, on my palm of my hand. I stuck a little branch through it. I was playing with my little boy and we were trying to climb a tree and, you know, it went pretty deep. But, you know, it's an amazing thing to me that there's only one layer. As I look at my hand right now, there's only one layer of skin that needs to be healed. When, you know, a week or two ago, there was like three or four layers and how they're just healing itself. It's an amazing thing how it's all working together. You know, imagine if your body stopped healing itself. You know, you want to isolate yourself in a room and never do anything unless you, you know, it's just amazing. I'm intrigued at science and I'm intrigued at the way the body works and I'm intrigued about God's creation and how He works all these things together. You know, it's just intriguing to me. It's amazing. You know, just, you take like, you know, our blood vessels and just the heart and how it pumps blood through the body and all this stuff, you know, again, that I don't have much understanding on, but I just know that it works and you know how the brain works. I mean, we can't even figure out how the brain works. We just know that it works. And when it doesn't work, we know it doesn't work. You know, we know there's a difficulty, a problem. And how, you know, the head gives commandments to the body. I mean, here I am. I'm talking. I'm moving my hands. I'm just going on and on. And I'm not thinking about nothing but just talking to you. I'm not thinking, move your hand now. Now move it up. Now move it down. Now no, move it up. Make sure you're moving your mouth at the right time. Don't move your head there. Make sure your eyes are going this way. You know, and make sure your foot's staying there. I just, you know. And my brain is just doing all this stuff and I'm just talking to you and I'm just, and it's just amazing. This is a humanity is amazing and the human body is intriguing. And it's gotta work together. If there was a malfunction right now, my brain, forget it. If there was something blocking, my brain waves from hitting these nerves and things to move my hands, forget it. My hand, we call paralyzed. Because I had some brain damage and therefore one side of my body is paralyzed and I can't move it anymore. Because why? There's division. Something's blocking. And the whole thing is Jesus is called the head. And it's interesting there in verse 16, that's what it says. For whom, or verse 15, but speak the truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body joined and knit together. Listen to this. The whole body is what? Joined. The word is fit. Fit together or framed together. Joined or, you know, or you could put the word joined as cemented together, literally. It's hooked together. And you think about, again, through the physical body. I mean, my joints, you know, are hooked and how my elbow joints, you know, are to, you know, all these things, how they're hooked. How I can just run down the street and because it's all working in unison with one another. It all works, you know, all these ligaments and joints and all this stuff. And we're joined together. And here's the analogy that we, like a body, need to be hooked perfectly to one another. You know, if one thing malfunctions, there's division and there's what we call, it's going to be handicapped. It's going to be quenched. It's going to be hurt. It's going to be paralyzed. It's going to be hindered. And it's interesting how he phrases it. Joined in and knit together by what every joint supplies. There's a supply from every single joint. Now here, speaking of the joints, according to the effect of working by which every part does its share. Every part has to do its share. If every part of my body right now, my physical body, does not do its share, I cannot be totally healthy and do whatever I want to do with my body. But I will be handicapped, hindered from doing that which I was made to do. I can't go play basketball if my knees aren't working like they used to. You know, the older you get, the more you realize they stop working like they used to. It's breaking down, but that's not how it ought to be in the body of Christ. It's an interesting thing. Children grow. Then they become adults and stop growing. And then they start decaying, literally. And it's an interesting thing, and then that's because of the fall of man. But in the body of Christ, we go from children to adulthood, I don't know any other way to say it, into eternal adulthood. We just keep growing and growing and growing and growing and growing. And that is an amazing thing to me. That's a whole other issue. kid grows. I mean, you know, I've just had, you know, two babies. Well, I haven't. My wife has. But we've had two babies. And it's an amazing thing with our little babies. You know, when you have your first child, you just can't imagine that they'll ever be able to walk. You just, you know, they can't even hold their head up. I mean, they can't even, they can't move any. I mean, if they do, they just, you know, and they hit me and you know, they can't do anything. I can't imagine. My son, you know, couldn't imagine him ever just be able to pick something up. But then he'll never be able to open the door. He's not going to be able to just, you know, turn that thing and open the door and do all this stuff. That's amazing to me what that kid can do now. And how his bones, literally his bones have grown, and his whole body, his head's growing, and this whole thing is just, it's just growing, and he keeps growing. He gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and the kid is huge. He's 2 years old, he's almost halfway as tall as me. I mean, he's huge. You know, I mean, his head sticks way over the table, and you know, nothing stops him now. He can climb anything, he can do anything, he thinks he's Superman too. And that's a dangerous thing. And it's amazing to me. You know, he will jump off anything, no matter how high it is. And if dad ain't there, he's going to fall. So he thinks I'll just catch him anywhere. You know, I set him up on the counter, and he comes flying off, and I got to grab him. You know, it's like he's growing and growing and growing. And that's exactly what verse 16 says, that we're going to grow up into the head. But we're going to grow up into Christ, and we're going to grow up as children. And again, in the context, it's very clear. You'll see that no longer tossed to and fro. And we'll look at that on Thursday night as we study this. But for this morning, it's understanding that there's growth. And that's what I mean when I say that the body, our church is being sanctified. Our church, not just every one of us are being sanctified. Our church corporately is being sanctified. And our church is growing up. But as we grow, we're going to start to work in unity more and more. It's like my son right now, he's 7 months old, Joel. And Joel, he's just learned how to crawl. And he's moving. My boys are pretty fast at what they do. I mean, you know, and Joel, I mean, he's cruising. But you know, he still can't do what Isaac can do. He still doesn't have the muscle control. You know, he still kind of, you know, grabs me when I come and put my face by him. I mean, he'll grab me. He'll tear my face right off. I mean, he's kind of strong. He grabs me, you know, and he kind of just hits me. And you know, he doesn't know how, you know, if I put his hand on my face, he doesn't know how to just go like that. I tell Isaac, put your hand on daddy's face and rub it like that. And he can do it. He's grown. And he's grown. Isaac can grab a ball and he can throw it. He can kick a ball. Joel grabs balls, he puts them in his mouth and he bites them. He walks around the house with the ball out of his mouth, you know. And he hasn't reached the point. He can't. He's pulling himself up now. And he's standing up like that. This morning at 6:30, he's standing up in his crib. You know, and so he's starting to learn, but he can't stand up and walk around. You know, and when you're an infant church, when we're younger in the Lord, and working together as a body, we might not be able to do certain things, and we're still in those stages. And there's things we couldn't have done 2 years ago. We couldn't have gone to Africa. We couldn't have gone to Turkey. We couldn't have done these things which God's will is for His body. Just like it's God's will for Joel to walk one day. That's the right thing that happens. But as the natural process of growth takes place, as the right food is given, as the right nourishment is given, right care and love, the right training and teaching, God willing, these kids are going to grow up and be men one day. And be men who can make it on their own. And men who are grown. And the church right here, us as a church, are called to grow. And God wants to grow us up every day more and more. Where we begin to work in unison with one another that, you know, like Joel one day is going to be turning a knob because his brain waves are going to be working better with his nerves and with, you know, his arms and the whole thing. However it works, it works. And it's going to be working and he's going to grow up and he's going to be able to do those things. And it's so it is with us. Some places we just can't get there. We can't reach that. We don't have the skills, the giftings yet. But it says to each one in verse 7, but to each one grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. And therefore he says when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. And I want you to note the word each. Each one of you have been given a gift this morning for the edification of the body of Jesus Christ. We are all one body, not three, not four, not we're all our individual. You know, we live in an individualistic society. We live in a time, our culture, you know, people say culture shock when you go into another culture. People have greater culture shock when they come to America than any other country. Because we're so odd, we're so weird, we're so different than most countries of the world. We are a society that cares about self. We are an individualistic society. It's what I do. It's what I want. Most societies of the world, most cultures are family-oriented. We're not family-oriented. We try to pretend like we are. We're self-oriented. You know, most countries, when you say family. That means cousin, uncles, and the whole thing. Family, and their families are huge. Our families, you know, me and my two sons and my wife. You know, we have divisions in our families and we just, you know, push everybody away and it's me. And then you grow up and it's like those families start to break off and divide. And you know, and we have this whole attitude and it seeps into the family of God. And we say, you know, I come to church on Sunday mornings and here I am. And there you are and that's neat. We'll worship together and we'll fellowship and we'll talk. But you know what? When I leave church, I go to my life, you go to yours. That's unbiblical and that's wrong. And that's division in the body of Jesus Christ. And that's what Paul's talking about. Because we're a family stronger than even with our physical families. We are a united family. We are a one people called for one purpose, and that is to glorify our Father. And each one of you have been gifted differently. Each one of you have special gifts that God has given to you. Now, some of you might not be using those gifts. Some of you might not know about those gifts because you're too caught up in your individual life that you've never given yourself even to the understanding or given yourself practically to get involved in the body of Jesus Christ. And let me say it this way, to get involved in the work of the kingdom. The work of your Father. His kingdom. Not the earthly kingdom, the heavenly kingdom. The kingdom of God. It's amazing to me what people will do. What sacrifices people will make to, you know, get a degree. What sacrifices they'll make to get a good career. And there's nothing wrong with those sacrifices. Those are honorable. Those are right. Those are good. And when it comes to their life and their future in the sense of this world, they make great sacrifices, but when it comes to the body of Jesus Christ, when it comes to eternity, not just their future in this life, but their eternal future and the future of the church and the will of God happening now in the church. Sacrifice isn't an issue because they say, I work hard, I do this, and that's enough. And there's no sacrifice happening in the church when our calling is to pick up the cross, to die and to follow Christ. There's nothing, listen to me, there's nothing wrong in making a sacrifice of working hard to get a career. There's nothing, that's great. In fact, you can use that for the kingdom. Because that's a whole new field of evangelism for you in your career. You are the light that the church is sending out to that job. To be a light, that's awesome, that's great. We need that. If God provides and blesses, you can use the gift of giving and help facilitate the will of God and the evangelization of the world through missions. And it's wonderful. It's God's plan. We're called to work hard. All these things. But there's a mindset, and it's from our culture, and it's not from the Word of God. And there's a mindset that I make great sacrifices for me and my family, but for the kingdom of God, if it doesn't edify me, then I don't do it. You see, and what we don't realize is that when one member suffers, the whole body suffers. And when one member is saying, I'm going to be selfish today, one member says, I'm going to backslide today, one member gives himself to sin, it is affecting the whole unity of the body of Jesus Christ. It's immediately putting a stop because from that member to this member to this member to this member, that member works. And if one of them in the chain is stopped, one of them isn't functioning in their gift, it affects the whole chain. It affects the whole body. If my heart fails right now, it's going to affect my whole body. Right now, if my kidneys fail, it's going to affect my whole body. Now, you don't see my heart nor kidneys. And people say, hey, but you don't see. Nobody sees me praying. Nobody sees right now my walk. Nobody sees me, you know, what I'm doing. I can sin. You might not be seen, but you'll affect the whole body. Because when you fall into sin, you now are not in fellowship with God, and now you're no longer zealous to do the things God's called you to do. Now no longer you're doing those things. You know how many backslidden people there are this morning, probably in this church, in this room right now, that are not using their gifts because they don't think they're worthy. Because they feel condemned because their hearts aren't right with the Lord. Well, and that's affecting the whole church. Nobody cares. Nobody cares about it. We live in that kind of a society, that kind of culture that nobody cares. So what? They're just saying, you know, I need to get right with the Lord. Not I need to get right with the Lord because I need to get right with the Lord. I need to get right with the Lord because I need to get right with the Lord. And because the body is being affected by my lack. By me being out of the game, if you would. Each part must do its share. Listen again to verse 16. It says this, for whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies. There's a supply you give, an energy you give, a strength and an empowerment that you give to the wholeness of the body of Christ by what you supply. According to the effect of working by what every part does its share. Now, right now, brothers and sisters, our church is suffering. Oh, it's being blessed. Again, like I started, let me remind you. God's working. God's doing neat things. Man, we're growing. We're growing spiritually in depth. We're growing numerically in people. We're growing. Oh, but how much more God wants to grow us. You know, there are so many needs right now. Jesus said, truly the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. How that only isn't true on the mission field, but here at home. People have told me, they said, you know, you guys couldn't use me. I mean, look at your church. It's got so many laborers. It sure does. But not many that are laboring. It's an amazing thing when you really get down to it. And if you were to count the people and the people that are really serving here, within the body. Of course, your calling is to be a witness. Of course, you're called to do these things, but people serving here within the church as well. You're called not only to be a witness, but to edify yourself in the sense of the body. Edifies itself. We edify the body. And we all are involved in that. Listen, people say, well, you know what? I'm a young mom right now. That's important. Obviously. That's a definitely calling of God. And you know, I'm really not doing anything because God's called me to be a mom. God has called you to be a mom and a good mom and a faithful mom, and that's your main calling. But there's nowhere in the Word that you can say, and God has called me to step out of all ministry. All kingdom stuff? No way. And you say, but I'm discipling my kids. Good. So take a young mom that's discipling her kids and be accountable with her. Encourage her. I'm not saying you gotta come, you know, labor at the church 7 hours a day and, you know, again, I'm not saying that. But we're called to be involved, and we have an attitude so many times like, I'm not called to be involved. Where in the Word can somebody show me when we're not called to be involved? Listen to what Peter says. Peter says this, 1 Peter chapter 4. Says verse 10, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. As each one, listen, each one has received a gift. Therefore, minister to one another. That's in the church. Minister to one another. What would Paul? Paul says, well, I'm in prison. I can't do anything no more. I'm not part of the body. I'll just sit here. Locked up. I mean, think of it. You know, I understand my wife. She's a young mom, and I understand what, man, it's hard. There's a lot on her plate. You know, but if she was to say, you know, well, I'm a mom, I got two kids, they keep me up all night long, I'm tired, I'm weary, I've had enough, you know, that's it. I'm locked up here in my prison. Yeah, that's how some moms feel. You moms could bear witness to that. Here I am in my prison. But what did Paul do? He wrote letters. Paul encouraged. Paul shared. He did whatever he could where he was. And if you do whatever you can where you are, and give your heart to edifying the body of Jesus Christ, what you're going to find is you're going to find that you'll figure out your giftings. Maybe you just might find you. God's called you to encourage, and that's why he's put you in that place. In discouragement, so you can encourage others and be encouraged in that. Oh, brothers and sisters, the needs, the opportunities are endless. Can you pray? I love it. One of the sisters in our church, was in that place being a young mom, kind of trapped up in the house, not really being able to do anything, had a heart for the Lord, said, you know what? I've got a telephone and I can pray. And she started a prayer chain ministry, and that's what our prayer chain ministry is from. And it's still going on right now, a prayer chain ministry. And she's not even involved in it anymore. But she said, hey, what I can do with what I have set before me, I can do something. And I can begin to pray. I can begin to move. I can begin to go in these areas. You know, there can be so many new ministries started from people saying, I can't do that. I can't go, you know, street witnessing Friday nights. It's not, I'm not able to. I've got two kids at home, or I've, you know, got to work that night, or whatever it would be. No, I'm not just picking on the moms. You guys are worse than anybody. You say, you know, I work hard and this and that. Yeah, you do. But when a guy, you know, goes to get his master's degree, he works harder and works harder. And so how much more should we do for the kingdom? You know, I can remember pastoring the church, laying brick. I think when we just came back up there from Donnie, I mean, these guys working hard. Well, I work hard, so that's it. I'm going to come home and just be miserable, tired, weary, kids screaming, my wife upset with me because I'm laying down. And just be mad. That's my life. Well, get out. Do something, man. Take your kids. Take your wife. Get them serving God. Take them and do something with them. You go witnessing. Go out to dinner. Share with the waitress. See what God will do. You let God use you. Go, go, go. Bring your kids. If they're a little older, I love Richard Brennan. He's not here this morning, so I can preach about him. You know what he does? He rounds up his kids Christmas morning, takes them down to L.A. before they open presents, feeds the homeless, and then brings them home and says, now let's open presents. You want to talk about ministry. And you want to talk about those kids getting ministered to? Think the kids are damaged, destroyed. They open their presents with the greatest Thanksgiving they had ever opened presents Christmas morning. I love him. You know, when he first came to our church, he brought all his kids, and they all cleaned windows. Oh, I can't. I've got to be home with the kids. Bring the kids. Let's serve God as a family. Let's come together and let's do the work of the ministry. People say, well, you know, I can't because I've got kids. You know, the children's ministry right now, thinking of kids, is in huge need, as always, for ministers, teachers, helpers. And I mean, over half of us in this room right now are able, capable, and gifted to love kids and tell them about Jesus. You want to learn how to witness? Start witnessing to kids. Hey, bring your kids and put them in children's ministry and go teach one of the classes. We can do so much. You know, interesting, Thursday night, they had to get all the kids. They had the nursery workers. And because of the lack of workers, I'm just letting you know the needs going on. I'm not beating on you or saying, you guys have worked, do children's ministry. I'm not teaching this message because there was some great need. But these things have just come up. And I think it's the Lord just to kind of give me some illustrations of what's going on. They took all the kids from fifth grade on down and they had to put them in one classroom because of the lack of teachers. Now I know that there are capable, able teachers in this church that could radically not only affect kids, but be affected by kids. Because when you serve the Lord, you get affected. And guys, can I say this? My vision for our children's ministry is to see men in it. Men who love God. That little kids can say, there's a man in here who's leading, who loves God. And they begin to role model, especially little boys, and a lot of little boys are with their daddies. And if you could do that, you could be that. And so infect their lives. You know, everybody, well, that's a women's job. They don't babysit in there. They're not babysitting. They're teaching and training and discipling the children. What an awesome ministry. Man, I want to do that. I really do. My office is over there in one of the children's ministry rooms. I got to go through it to get to it. Man, I go in there and I just lay on the ground and let them all jump on me. I just love it. I just so want to, you know, they're in there doing the songs and they're dancing. I just start dancing with them, you know. And I go, I got to go teach. You guys are fun, man. They've got goodies every week. Every week. It is an amazing thing. I go in there and I think, man, where did they get this? There's cakes, there's this. No. And there are all these Bible illustrations and they got all these, you know, I go in there and they got, you know, this big old sandbox in there and, you know, Bill Lawrence, man, he's got everything. I mean, and he's going. And they got something new every, and I'm thinking, this is really fun. This is really a joy. To love God and serve in this way. You start in simple things like that. Can you pray? There's a prayer meeting, you know, on Saturday nights. And there's nobody there. I mean, there's easy. He's got to be there. He runs it. I mean, he wants to be there. Maybe another person or two. There's witnessing teams that go out. You know, we talk about our church is so evangelistic and we are just, and the witnessing teams are, you know, one van. That's all you need. Take them down there. Go witnessing. We should have 50 people on our witnessing team, 100 people easily. And we've got all these young, single people, zealous, they know the word, you guys are all equipped, you're ready to go. You can rightly divide the word of truth probably better than anybody else in your Belinda. And we're all, you know, out hanging out with each other. And that's great. I'm not saying, you know, you don't witness unless you go on the witnessing team. I'm just saying, guys, the ministries are endless. And you say, well, you know what? I got this and that. And you know, you'll always have this and that. What is your priority in life? Is it the kingdom of heaven? Is it doing your part in the body to edify and to build up and strengthen the body to get involved and say, what can I do? And begin to seek after God. You say, I don't, you know, here's the famous quote. Trent, I don't know what my gift is. You'll never know until you do something. Michael Jordan would never know that he was gifted to play basketball unless he started. Started bouncing that ball around, started playing, shooting into that little hoop, and realized, hey, I like this, I'm good at this stuff. And began to more and more and more and go. Dude, I never appeared to be a teacher. You wouldn't look at me and say, you're gifted to teach, Trent, teach. Back to when I said, hey, I think God's called me to teach. You know, my mom's told me she got a stomach ache the first night I taught. Because she was so scared for him. She thought, oh no, he's just going to make an idiot of himself. I'm serious. When I told Easy, I really think I'm called to teach. And he had heard me teach. He said, let's pray. You know, but I would never have known that I was called to do what God has called me to do in the body unless I stepped out and walked by faith and did those things that were set before me. I was scared to death. I went, oh, this is comfortable. I'll do this. This is the most uncomfortable thing you can do to me, God. But I'll do it because I believe that you might be in it. And if I'm not, I'll fall on my face and you'll pick me up and we'll move on. No big deal. Let's go. We need to be people that walk with God, that seek God, that go after God, that serve the Lord in our callings and in our ministry. You should have a ministry. If you don't have a ministry, there's something wrong. Doesn't mean you're full-time on staff. It means this is my ministry. I minister to the kids on my street. I bring them to church. I minister to the kids in the children's ministry. I minister on the street witnessing team. I minister this way. I minister. There's got to be a ministry. If there's not a ministry, there's something wrong. It's unbiblical. I'm taking, you know, time off. I've had enough. You've had enough of God? You've had enough of being filled with the Spirit and anointed and sent out? How could you get enough of that? You haven't had any of it is the problem. You've had enough of religion. You've had enough of church. You've had enough of your flesh. This is an issue of getting in contact with the head of the body, Jesus Christ. It's an issue of intimacy. It's an issue of walking in faith. It's an issue of walking with God. It's an issue of going after God with everything you have. That's the issue at hand this morning. My prayer for us is that we would read over these verses and pray about them and begin to ask God in a serious way, what is my gifting ministry? God, strengthen me and help me to do it. And begin to step out and try things. We've got to do it. We have to. If we don't, we have a paralyzed body trying to reach the world for Jesus Christ, and we're not walking in the fullness of God. God wants to fill us with all of Him. And you know my response to that, that God wants to fill us with all of Him? My response to that is saying, what would stop us from being filled with all of God? Who would say no? Who would say, no, I don't want that? Who in their right mind would say no? To the greatest satisfaction in life is to be used by God. There's nothing greater. Great, you've got, you know, your master's degree. You worked hard. Great. Are you satisfied? No. No way. Great, you've got the house you wanted. You worked hard. You're your car. Nothing satisfying but being filled with the Holy Spirit and being used by Almighty God. Now you're satisfied no matter what you've got. Doesn't matter. That we would give ourselves wholly and completely to the Lord and say, you know what, I'm part of the body and I'm going to act like it and move out in it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much this morning for your calling, for your giftings in our life, for what you've done. We must, Lord, this morning worship you because we are compelled. We must this morning say, Lord, you're worthy. You're worthy of our hearts, of our lives. You're worthy, God. And we need you, Lord, to convict us, to cause our priorities to be right, to change us, and God, to grow us up as a church body that we might be a full age maturity. Oh God, do a work in our hearts. We thank you and praise you and worship you. And we commit, Lord, our hearts and our lives to you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.